Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by M&A Moving and Hauling, serving all of Central Iowa for your moving needs. Call 515-490-2640 and they'll send you a couple of guys. Welcome to back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers, and it's another week, and it's cold, and it's fall.
Yeah, and the wind's blowing 100 miles an hour.
Yes, but at least the leaves are changing. I love fall. Actually, I like the cooler weather, too, and I like football. So this is autumn is my favorite. It's my favorite season.
It's a great time of year as long as it's not spitting rain and, like I say, blowing like crazy, and it's about 36 degrees. Then it's not so much fun.
Exactly, and the Hawkeyes are actually playing well last 2 weeks.
Really?
So, yes. Can't say the same for the Cyclones,
haven't
unfortunately.
Haven't been paying any attention to football.
I knew it. It's like, you know, maybe Iowa State needs to beat Iowa every year. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But it seems like every time Iowa State beats Iowa, Iowa goes on to have a great year. Iowa State, so far, not so much.
We shall see.
Hopefully it'll turn around. I really do want to see Iowa State do well. So, but anyway, love fall. Kind of digressed a little bit because, you know, Hawkeyes on the brain, but
this week I haven't been feeling very well, so I thought that the prescription to whatever's ailing me would be the donuts from the bakery down the street,
sure,
and some genuine Dr. Johnny Fever radio station coffee, and we've got both, so I'm feeling better already. Ron, what's the name of that bakery? Let's do a shameless promotion here.
Dutch Oven Bakery
on Story Street, downtown in Boone. Outstanding.
Ron doesn't have a mic, so I'll have to repeat his answer for you. But have you had their Dutch letters? Do they have respectable Dutch letters?
They're highly regarded.
Thumbs up.
Highly regarded. Wow.
Yarsma's Bakery in Pelham might have something to say about that. But
it's a long ways from here.
We'll have to try it out.
We can't help those folks. I mean, our signal doesn't go that far.
That's right. So anyway, so yeah, my family celebrated a milestone on the 2nd. We had Morgan 2 years cancer free. So
that is cool.
Yes, on October 2nd, 2012, he was told after 6 rounds of chemo and 14 radiation treatments that he was in remission with Hodgkin's lymphoma, and he's doing well, sprouting up. Tallest kid in the family. So
yeah, he was running the computer equipment at the briefing a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, he was, and so that's you know, we're always happy to be able to celebrate that, and he's so far so good. And 3 years from now, hopefully they'll fully declare him cancer free. There's still a chance for secondary cancer from the chemo and the radiation treatments, but so far so good.
And we'll continue to keep that in prayer, and really tickled to see how things are going so far, buddy.
Yeah, thank you.
Lord is good.
Yes, and we have a special guest on the line. We have Zach Nunn. He is running for the Iowa House in House District 30. I see his signs all over the place in Altoona when I drive there. I don't see his opponent's signs as much. I'm sure maybe Zach, as he's door knocking, probably sees a few more signs, but
Maybe Zach is running unopposed.
But it seems to me, anyway, from my limited experience driving around in Altoona, that he is winning the yard sign contest. Not that that really means a whole lot, but welcome, Zach, to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Morning, Shane. Morning, Brian. Thank you very much for having me on the air. And Shane, I just want to congratulate you again on Morgan beating cancer. Obviously, this is October. This is our awareness where everybody comes together and says, hey, let's really put some resources and time behind it. If I can just give a quick blessing to my family. My mother had thyroid cancer this February and was able to get the thyroid removed and is in full remission. So I'm very happy for Morgan as well.
Definitely, yeah. September was actually Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, and is October is breast cancer?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. So, yes, and it's something that, you know, obviously almost everybody has been touched in some form or fashion with some form of cancer. I've had a couple family members.
Everybody knows somebody.
My grandmother and my aunt both passed away from cancer. So, it's certainly something that, you know, we all need to be praying for a cure one of these days, and you know, contribute as well to hopefully to research, and hopefully we'll be able to beat this disease.
Agreed.
So thank you for that, and thank you for coming on Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. So, you know, first time I saw your one of your yard signs, I thought, who the heck is Zach Nunn? So who the heck is Zach Nunn?
Well, hey, thank you for giving me the opportunity to kind of describe it. The Des Moines Register actually highlighted us as one of the top five races in the state, mm-hmm. and it was the only race where the challenger actually got a mention. So I'm coming in as a challenger. I grew up in Altoona. And House District 30 really covers the eastern third of Polk County. So we go all the way up to Elkhart. We include towns of Bondurant, Victorville, mm-hmm. and down to Runnels, and pretty much the Bondurant, Farrar, and Southeast Polk school districts. I grew up in the area there, graduated from Southeast Polk way back in 98 now, and okay. Went off to Drake.
Way back. You're still young.
Yeah. Keep telling my wife that. I appreciate that. Taught civics to high school students before doing a little time working for Senator Grassley.
Okay.
And
never say did a little time when you're talking about politics.
That's true.
Just a thought here, Zach.
And you taught, and high school students learn civics. That's amazing.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
And so where did you teach high school students civics?
So it was out after Drake. They had a teacher shortage out in Washington, D.C., and I followed in the footsteps of my father, who taught 30 years at North High School here in Des Moines.
Okay.
And I went out to Washington, D.C., where they needed some teachers, and I taught U.S. government and American civics. So it was
great.
Very nice. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed being in the classroom, and, man, talk about an inspiration. Working with young people today, the amount of creativity and passion they have on that,
mm-hmm.
even for history and U.S. government, it's very encouraging.
Great. Great. Yeah, I've had some experience teaching as well, and I spent 20 years in youth ministry. So
yeah.
I'm continually impressed with a lot of things. I'm impressed with this upcoming generation. Some things not as much, but I'm encouraged that we have a growing number of kids that are becoming increasingly more pro-life, and that's been good.
Yeah.
As far as writing ability, that's something I'm a little concerned about. I don't know if you noticed that as well. But
if only text messaging could provide
exactly
good,
yeah, exactly.
And that is it.
It's definitely a cultural thing with the onset of text messaging and instant messaging and online chatting and all that. So we have, you know, on one hand, technology has been really great. On the other hand, not so much. But so, okay, so you taught for a little while, and then you worked for Senator Grassley, you said, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And then after 9/11, I think like a lot of people, they felt, hey, what's the best thing I can do to help the country? And a lot of us entered public service. A lot of us went into the private sector to really say, hey, let's help rebuild. For me, I joined the U.S. Air Force as an airborne intelligence officer. I was fortunate enough to serve two tours in Afghanistan, and one is Iraq, as kind of the airborne reconnaissance platform that was looking at what was happening across the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
As the intelligence officer, we really identified what the adversary was doing and helping vector in guys on the ground, so working with the Army and Marine Corps, as well as our own Air Force and naval assets there flying for strike missions. So,
sure.
We did a lot of good there.
So that was that dealing with surveillance drones?
I didn't do drones. So
okay.
as
don't drone me, bro. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we were all airborne. So we had a number of airborne linguists, myself, and some electronic warfare officers that would fly 18-hour missions.
Oh, okay.
Over, combat mission, and you'd have live ears up in the air and a live voice actually in the theater with you talking to the guy on the ground. So. There were a number of times we were awarded the best air crew of the Air Force in 2007 for helping break a 2,000-strong insurgent group and getting a number of special operators out of there. All of them survived. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had some very good missions and had the opportunity to lead 120 of probably the finest young men and women that I've ever worked with in my career and probably will in my life.
Lead, you were an officer?
Yeah, so now I'm a major with the U.S. Air Force, and I've actually transferred over after my active duty time and served here with the Iowa Air National Guard out of Des Moines with the 132nd.
Okay. And what's your MO? What do you do with the Iowa Air National Guard now?
Yeah, so I'm the senior intelligence officer for a group that we call our Distributed Training Operations Center. The military does love its acronyms,
mm-hmm.
but really what we try and do is we provide virtual simulation using network connectivity for our active duty and joint partners around the globe.
Great. So thank you for your service, by the way. How did you get into the Air Force of all military branches? I was actually in the Army myself. So.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. Absolutely. My brother's in the Army, so he'll compliment you well on that.
Okay.
My grandfather was in the Army. My dad was in the Air Force. And I think that for having the opportunity to do intelligence analysis, mm-hmm. the Air Force really has a great global mission. In fact, after I did my active duty time, before I switched over to the Guard, I had the fortune of serving with the intelligence community directly after that. And that's where I really cultivated kind of the perfect, I was a nerd in high school and college, the analytical side,
sure.
with the desire to do service on the front line. So it was a perfect marriage for me.
Okay. And did you go through ROTC, or did you go into an officer candidate?
Yeah, so there's three great ways to get into any of our armed services and officer. Obviously, the service academies are a great way mm-hmm. to get college paid for, a lot of hard work. We have the Reserve Officer Training Corps, which does most of our state schools here in Iowa, at Iowa State and University of Iowa. We have a good Air Force program. And then there's also the direct commission for if you're a doctor or
a lawyer, or
an attorney, absolutely. As well as if you have a professional degree, so you've gone through your 4 years of college, you can go straight to officer training school. And that's what I went through down in. Spent a nice summer at Maxwell Air Force Base in Alabama, and then did my first training base out in Texas before getting stationed overseas.
Great. So, married kids?
Yes.
Okay.
I am very fortunate, and probably the best accomplishment I've had in my life has been actually getting my wife to say yes.
Ah, so you married
we
up.
Did, yeah, we both are Southeast Polk grads. I like to say that we met on a gridiron at a Friday night football game. I was in the marching band, however, so she was a freshman, and after about 10 years, she went on her first date with me, and it's been a success ever since.
Great.
I'm very blessed, and we've got two great little guys. I got a kindergartner and a second grader.
So one question we always ask all candidates, why in the world do you want to run?
Well, I will say this. My wife is very much looking for November 5th. Hopefully for a victory, but either
feature
way,
that.
Like my,
exactly.
When I've been asked, my wife has said no. So
exactly, and I mean the short answer to that is yeah. I've spent a career defending our nation's freedom, and now I'm really looking for the honor to serve the community that I grew up in, and I can't think of a greater calling than having the opportunity to be a voice for my neighbors, my friends, and my family.
Having said that, Zach, are you thinking ahead with respect to your career in politics?
You know, I haven't even gone beyond that. I'm really looking at what is happening in our district. We've got a great district. It's a dynamic. I believe that it's ripe for smart growth in our neighborhoods. We've got a place where we can really provide some world-class opportunities to our neighbors, and then at the same time, develop our generational communities that our friends and family grew up in.
Great. So in any case, it's one step at a time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really want to focus on doing what's right for our community first. And that you probably saw on those yard signs out there, the bumper sticker that we have on everything that precedes even my name is community first. And what we're really trying to say is, hey, this is where I want to spend my time, is representing the issues that are important for the things that we see every day. We've knocked on just about 10,000 doors in the district, and increasingly, the thing that we hear most back is not about what's happening on the national political stage or what's happening internationally. It's how is local politics affecting my life? And I think that's something we can all relate to. As an intel officer, I'm very concerned about ISIS. But the thing I'm even more concerned about is what's going to happen with my kids' curriculum, or what's going to happen for our property taxes in our area, or what's happening with my small business.
So we have about 3 minutes left, Ron's telling me. So what are the like three things that distinguish you between what's makes you different than your opponent, Joe Riding, who's the incumbent?
Yeah, absolutely. As the challenger in the area, I think there are the three things that I really want to hit on. First, taxes in our area are too high. I'm a small business owner. When it comes to what's important to me, it's being able to say, how do I get more people to invest in our community locally? And when you look at cutting the property tax, the state tax, you can return money to people's pockets directly, and they more than likely are going to invest in their local community. For our area in House District 30, 80%+ of the job creators are small businesses. So being able to invest in that is a great way not only to revitalize an economy that has suffered through 6 years of lack of investment, but it really grows that small innovator as an incubation for him.
Mm-hmm.
I think, too, as a parent and as a person with classroom experience, is our education. Being able to really incentivize good teachers, standout teachers, to be creative and go forward. It's where Iowa used to be in the 80s, where we were number one in the nation, to say, you know what, our best talent source is actually in the classroom. It's not coming from Washington, D.C. And with that, there's a partnership that comes with parents and students to develop a learning environment that is not boilerplate, where everybody learns the exact same way. So that one teacher who's got a classroom of 30 students, each one of those students is diverse and has a set of needs that I think is better met in the classroom than met through an autonomous regulation. Okay. And finally, I'd offer the things that are going to help grow our state the best is having some serious budget leadership. I think that I've had proven leadership in the management field, and I also think I would offer a fresh voice from my opponent.
Great.
The key here is being able to balance a budget consistently and then operate within that budget, just like Iowa families do, not like the Democratic Party has done in the State House, where they spent over $1 billion or asked to spend over $1 billion in funding beyond what we brought in.
Great. Where can people learn more about you, perhaps maybe even send you a check?
Oh, hey. Brian Singer, help
that
me out.
That got his attention.
It's very simple. Please do check us out at www.zachnunn.com, Z-A-C-H-N-U-N-N. We also have a Facebook page. We love your support. We have over 1,000 likes. That's
great.
A 10-to-1 advantage over our opposition. And we're getting out there. We're up on television this week. And, yeah.
Great. Thanks, Zach.
I appreciate all the support we can get. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me.
And this is Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Marv, the boxes are packed and ready to move, but what about the appliances?
No problem, Alice.
Marv, I think you're going to need a couple of guys to help.
I've got it all worked out. I'll just lower this refrigerator down the stairs.
Whether you're moving across town, downtown, up, down, or back again, give us a call and we'll send you a couple of guys. Hi, I'm Brian Myers with M&A Moving and Hauling. Don't be like Marv and Alice. When it's time for you to move to your new home or office space, M&A Moving and Hauling can help. We have what it takes to move your belongings safely and securely to their new location. Give us a call and we'll send you a couple of guys.
Call M&A Moving and Hauling today, 515-491-6348. That's 515-491-6348. Or find M&A Moving and Hauling online at acoupleofguys.net.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart, Brian Myers, and on the line we have a special guest. All of our guests are special, though. We have Rod Blum. He's running for Congress in the 1st Congressional District here in Iowa, which is a heavily blue district. That's Congressman Bruce Braley's seat, who's vacating that seat to run for U.S. Senate. So Rod is running up against Pat Murphy, who's a state representative, former Speaker of the House, the Iowa House, until the Republicans took the Iowa House back. So welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, Rod.
Good morning, Rod.
Good morning. Glad to be on your show. We're currently on the road to Blackhawk County.
All right. Right. So how you've been getting around the district a lot. You recently had Terry Branstad up, Governor Branstad up campaigning with you?
Yes, Lieutenant Governor Reynolds and Governor Branstad, we campaigned on Tuesday and Friday of last week. I think we stopped to maybe five or six cities and towns in the district, and great crowds, and I can tell you the GOP is definitely energized.
Awesome.
And it's always a lot of fun to be on the stage with the governor. And in fact, I'm going to be, later today, I'm going to be with the Governor Branstad and Governor Chris Christie from New Jersey. Governor Christie promised me he would come back and help me fundraise a little bit and campaign for me. And by God, he kept his promise, which is unusual in this day and age.
Sure.
And so he's flying into Cedar Rapids this afternoon. I'll be with him and Governor Branstad. So, we're looking forward to that event. That'll be a lot of fun.
Where are you going to be?
We're going to be at G-E-E Asphalt. It's on 6th Avenue Southwest.
Okay.
And yeah, it's going to be a fun event. And it's always fun to have these national political figures in, because it kind of rallies the troops and keeps the enthusiasm and excitement up.
Great. So the last Loras College poll, which was, I think, the only poll I've seen in your district, or I think Loras College has polled before in your district, but you were 2 points behind Pat Murphy, which was, within the margin of error, close to it. So it's a statistical tie. That's pretty remarkable. Is that getting some attention outside of the state?
Yeah, we seem to have generated a fair amount of national attention, so that, that doesn't hurt. It helps with fundraising.
Sure.
About 75 days ago, 2.5 months ago, the Murphy campaign took a poll and said that he was ahead by 10. And then we had our own poll taken about 5 weeks ago, and it said that we were that Murphy was ahead by 4.5. So we cut the lead in half, and then the Loras College poll basically says a statistical tie. So we like that momentum. We like the direction that it's heading. And he was a former speaker of the Iowa House, so he had much better name ID than I did in the district.
Right.
That's
sure.
Why we think he had that early large lead. But where we're at today is tied. I'm sure it's very close, and that's why turnout's going to be so important. And the GOP and Republicans that I have been talking with the last 6 to 8 weeks are energized, they're excited, and they're also very tired and weary of what's going on in Washington, D.C. With the Obama administration. But in this district, the number one voter registration is the independent voter,
mm-hmm.
or no party, and they'll determine this this race in this district.
If I recall...
And we had in the Loras poll, we had a 10-point lead amongst independent voters.
Sure. Just a little with the Loras College poll, I know there's been some criticism with that particular poll as far as some people think that they oversampled independents based on prior turnout. I know based on registration, I think their breakdown was was appropriate because they had a greater number of independents. So, I think the factor for you is really trying to get out that independent vote and make sure they maybe surpass voter turnout models in the past?
Yes. This isn't based on any scientific polling. This is my belief. I think the average independent voter, at least in my district in eastern Iowa, is probably husband, wife, probably both working, trying to raise a family, trying to play by the rules, paying taxes, and, in the last 6 years under Barack Obama's administration, middle class families' income has gone down. Their household net worth has gone down, while the prices, for gasoline, education, health care have skyrocketed. So the middle class, that average independent voter, has been squeezed tremendously in the last 6 years. And our message has been consistent over the last 18 months. We talk about reigniting this economy, and my opponent wants to give people some more food stamps. And I want to give him a paycheck, and I want to give him a good-paying job.
Great.
I mean, it really is his. He has 1930s ideas about economics.
Man.
And I always say, if you have 1930s economic policies, we're going to end up with a 1930s economy. And that wasn't very good. And Eastern Iowans want a good-paying job. They don't want to be dependent on the federal government.
You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We have Rod Blum on the line with us. President Obama gave you a great gift yesterday, or actually be Thursday. We're playing this on Saturday. So he said, basically, make no mistake, these policies, talking about his economic policies, are going to be on the ballot, which you're probably thinking, thank you, President Obama,
it's amazing you brought that up, saw that come across the news feed. And we were traveling in the car, and my campaign manager and I literally looked at each other and said, unbelievable, thank you very much.
Yeah,
this is exactly what we have been saying on the campaign trail, our opponent really is Barack Obama, and it's his economic policies and failed foreign policies, and his creating a culture of dependency in the nation. And it's been very helpful, actually.
You know, we were talking a couple minutes ago about the turnout, and I just can't imagine. I know you're in a pretty blue district, Rod, but it just strikes me that given the circumstances of the nation right now, that even if you're a big fan of Obama, you may not be all that wild to come out and vote necessarily, whereas some independents and GOP voters were obviously very unhappy. They'll, as they say, crawl across broken glass to get to the polls.
Sure. Well, I know in Iowa, with the approval rating, the president's approval rating, one poll said it was 44% or maybe 40, a little bit higher than that. Another poll said it had it down. Oh, I'm sorry. It was I think it was USA Today poll that says 44%, and it was a little bit higher for the Rasmussen poll. But Iowans, you know, a majority of Iowans disapprove of President Obama's job. And I'm just wondering how that breaks down in the first district. So anyway, I hope voters go to the poll in mind that, hey, President Obama's policies are on the ballot. So
great. Yes, I really believe in it. And I've been saying this is the last chance people have to vote against Barack Obama and his policies. Because in 2 years, obviously, in the presidential campaign, they'll have a nominee picked. And we won't be voting so much against Barack Obama. So this is the last chance people have to send a message to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. But, you know, a message that his economic policies have failed, his foreign policy is a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And another message is that he is not above the law. And there's a lot of concern as I travel Eastern Iowa. People ask me, how does he get away with, you literally can fill in the blank.
Sure.
I mean, there's hundreds of things, areas where he's poked his finger in the eye of the Constitution. And people are really concerned about that, and I'm one of them. And so we can send a message loud and clear on November 4th.
Great. Well, we know what you're against. What are you for? What do you want to accomplish if you happen to win in November and get to go to Washington, D.C.?
Yes, and I think that's a great question, and I think Republicans can't be successful if we're just against Barack Obama. My number one issue is reigniting this economy. And it's the worst economic recovery we've had in history, post-World War II.
That's exactly right.
Recession. And I was a young man growing a business and living the American dream during the 80s when Ronald Reagan was president. And we had so many opportunities then. And so we need to reignite the economy. You know, we need to decrease these onerous regulations. The EPA is out of control. We need to reduce our business tax rate. It's the highest in the world.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time we do that, we need to reform the tax rate. We need to get rid of crony capitalism. We need to get rid of Washington, D.C. picking the winners and losers. And we also need to fully develop American energy resources. Energy is the second largest cost of manufacturers. So energy has gone up greatly. And under Barack Obama's policies they want to implement, it's going to skyrocket. It's only going to drive more manufacturing to China. And I want to bring back some manufacturing from China. So we need to make sure we have low energy costs in this country. We can also, in the healthcare area, we need to implement a tort reform, lawsuit abuse reform, and we also need to make the patient a consumer, you know, and not let the federal government tell us who our doctor's going to be, who our hospital's going to be. We need to force insurance companies to compete in the healthcare arena. In the education arena, we need to, I'm in favor of making a private school tuition for K-12 tax deductible at the federal level. And we need to expand access to education savings accounts, just like we need to expand access to health savings accounts in the healthcare arena. But at the end of the day, I think the biggest thing is we need to get this economy booming again.
Rod, you mentioned the EPA and then you mentioned energy policy. What kinds of things can you do in the House to curtail the overreach of the EPA and to try to promote good, solid energy policies that are going to help our domestic production situation? What kinds of things can the House do in that regard?
Yes, the EPA, I have not spoken, this is not an exaggeration, in the last 18 months, I've not spoken to a manufacturing entity or to a farmer that is not concerned about the EPA.
Mm-hmm.
And I've renamed the agency the Employment Prevention.
it's really
what is going on out there. I would propose, if I get to Washington, D.C., a 5-year moratorium on any new regulations. I just think we need to stop where we're at, and businesses, farmers, farmers. They need some certainty. Mm-hmm. Businesses won't make investments if they're uncertain of the future.
Well, farmers,
and the EPA is making everyone uncertain, so they're out of control. Right. You know, we all want clean water, we all want clean air, and I always say, you know, if the EPA stays within, I call it the right-of-way lines, the businesses can adapt, and we have great entrepreneurs in this country, but they're clearly outside the right-of-way lines. So I'd like to push for a moratorium on any new regulations for 5 years. And it's called a Reins Act, R-E-I-N-S. I think it's Regulations of the Executive Branch in Need of Scrutiny is what it stands for. And basically what that says is any new regulation that's being proposed that has over $100 million negative impact to the economy mm-hmm. has to have an up or down vote on its own
sure.
in Congress. And I think every congressional rep should have to come back to their district. And if they voted for a regulation that costs the economy money, they should have to explain that vote.
And then
furthermore, to get the EPA under control, all funding comes from the House. You know, and I think they have 16,000 employees, 16,000 employees in the EPA writing regulations.
Perfect.
You know, I think we need to cut their funding. Either they get under control and these regulations start coming through Congress, or we cut their funding.
Yeah.
I mean, House has the purse strings.
Oh.
And I have the political courage to do that.
But
you know, maybe some don't, but I do.
But Rod, we got you know, global climate change. We, you know, the cows are letting off methane gas, and
we're all
going to
die.
We need to regulate the cow.
We're all
going to
die. Did I mention we're all going to die?
I know.
We got to have the EPA save us.
We never live this long, huh?
So, as far as tax reform goes, are you a flat taxer? Are you a fair taxer? All of the above? What?
No, it's interesting. In campaigns, sometimes you get asked about that very question. And I'm not a person that's a huge proponent of any particular tax plan. All I know is the one we have, you know, is bizarre. It's Byzantine. It's insanely long. And you can take the same question to 10 different IRS offices and get 10 different answers. I mean, and the time and money that my company spends and other small business people spend doing their tax returns is crazy. So we need to flatten it, no doubt, and we need to simplify it, no doubt, and we need to get rid of so many of these loopholes that have been put in there as political favors. You know, and I know when we tax something, we get less of it, and there's people that say, like, let's not tax income,
mm-hmm.
which is productive behavior, let's tax consumption. And, you know, that has some merits to it.
Sure.
But I try to be a realist. I try to be pragmatic and say, what are we really going to get through Congress?
Yeah.
And,
well,
remember how Reagan did simplify the tax code and did make it flatter. And I think we can do that again. So that'd be a step in the right direction.
Great. We got about 30 seconds left. So where can people find out more about you?
Well, our website is www.rodblum.com. And that'd probably be the best place to go. But we also have Twitter account, obviously, and Facebook account. And we're posting every day.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be right back.
Thanks, Rod.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa. And I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Marv, the boxes are packed and ready to move, but what about the appliances?
No problem, Alice.
Marv, I think you're going to need a couple of guys to help.
I've got it all worked out. I'll just lower this refrigerator down the stairs.
Whether you're moving across town, downtown, up down, or back again, give us a call and we'll send you a couple of guys. Hi, I'm Brian Myers with M&A Moving and Hauling. Don't be like Marv and Alice. When it's time for you to move to your new home or office space, M&A Moving and Hauling can help. We have what it takes to move your belongings safely and securely to their new location. Give us a call and we'll send you a couple of guys.
Call M&A Moving and Hauling today, 515-491-6348. That's 515-491-6348. or find M&A Moving and Hauling online at acoupleofguys.net.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers, and I am wound up. I've got my cup of coffee. I'm on my third cup. So, woo-hoo, highly caffeinated.
Yeah, I think your voice has gone up in both pitch and decibels.
So, yes, we have, this is our news segment. We have some stories we'd like to look at. Starting off, leading off, Romney. You're thinking, what about Romney? Romney, he's the guy that just won't seem to go away. We had him in 2008, and then he came back in 2012. Of course, you know the story. He won the nomination. He ran.
It's like a bad penny.
And the New York Times, in an interview published earlier this week, or maybe last week, I can't remember exactly when, he was asked if he was running in 2016. He says, I have nothing to add to the story. We've got a lot of people looking at the race. We'll see what happens. This has never been done. Well, okay, I don't want to say never, because I'd have to look at every single presidential race ever, you know, in our history. So I'm sure we've had failed nominees run again, probably. But I can't think of any time in recent history where we've had a guy run, fail two times, actually won the nomination last time, and he's going to go a third time. And actually, with Republican establishment politics, the unwritten rule is you go with the guy, the next person in line. And Mitt Romney would not be.
But just remember Richard Nixon.
That's true. So I said recent history, though. But Nixon turned out oh so well. So do we?
Didn't mean that in a positive way.
We're not, okay.
I was just pointing out the historical
facts. That's true. But let's take it all the way. I'm sure Romney would. Well, I would hope would not have any type of scandal. Actually, he's been one thing you have going for Romney is he's pretty scandal free and quite boring, really. But
I'm still struggling to think that his wife is actually going to let him run, because I think she was just about at her wit's end at the last the end of the last campaign.
I think they're just. I'd be shocked if he ran again. The first thing that comes to mind is what hubris. But I think you're right. I think Ann Romney will say, "Man, let's just be private citizens.
Yeah, let's enjoy our kids and our grandkids and our money and just coast."
But remembrance of, well, we just want to take a little blast from the past, the 2012
election.
Well,
this isn't a little blast. This is an awesome
this
blast.
This is a classic sound clip from the 2012 election in response to Romney. Well, first, we're going to hear a little bit more about before she gets into Romney. But anyway, this is the Obama phone clip. I'm sure our listeners are all remember this well.
You shouldn't have said that. No, well, here, spoiled the surprise.
I know, but here it is.
You got Obama phone?
Yes, everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know? He gave us a phone.
Gave you a phone?
More.
How'd he give you a phone?
You sign up if you're on full stamps, you're on Social Security, you got low income, you disability.
Hey, I have a question. Okay, what's wrong with Romney again?
Romney, he sucks.
Romney, he sucks. Man, and we did clear, make sure we could play this on Christian radio. It is okay to say sucks on Christian radio.
It was all Shane's idea. It's all his fault.
Yeah. So anyway, our thoughts and why Romney should not run.
Yeah. Romney, he sucks. Hey.
Don't do it. Romney, don't do it. Don't run again. Because I know you'll probably, last time we only saw you in Iowa's because you started creeping up in the polls. So we know you'll totally avoid our state next time around. So just don't do it. I'm sure Ann's saying don't do it. Just listen to your wife. Stay home,
Enjoy your kids, your grandkids, and
exactly.
Your money.
Buy some stocks. Just enjoy retirement.
Go into cruise control.
Exactly. We believe me. There are people. We got a fairly good lineup you know, coming up in 2016, I think, the people we can choose from. And there, if you're afraid there's going to not be a moderate rhino squishy person running, I mean, we got Jeb Bush, we have Chris Christie, so we got it covered. We don't need you in the race, really. So just, you know, stay home.
And it sounds very much like, you know, from what George W. Bush said the other day, it sounds very much like Jeb Bush is seriously contemplating a run.
Yeah, and I love that he was...
Scary thought.
The guy who endorsed in North Carolina, I can't think of his name off the top, because everybody was focused on what Jeb Bush said. The guy he endorsed actually kind of backtracked and kind of distanced himself on education policies, particular Common Core, as well as Bush's immigration policy. It's like, that was unique. And this is just, that's just a taste of what Jeb Bush is going to experience when he gets out into the hinterlands.
Yeah, this cannot end well.
Because I guarantee you, people in Iowa care about what he said about Common Core, his support for Common Core. He is the Common Core darling of the Republican Party, as well as his immigration policy, which is out of line, out of touch with most Republican voters.
But, you know, it's not just the base. I think even moderate Republicans are just going to say, we do not want another Bush running for office.
So, they would rather have Chris Christie, who's done absolutely nothing as governor of New Jersey.
Yeah,
except to appoint liberal judges.
Oh, no. You forgot about the bridge.
Oh, and the bridge, yeah.
He took care of the bridge.
Yeah, but no. He's been cleared by an investigation. Actually, it was his own investigation. We won't go there, but, you know, so he's still got, come on, folks. Find another squishy rhino to run. Not Chris Christie, not Jeb Bush. Maybe it will be Romney. Maybe he'll look at Christie and Bush and say, I've weighed them, I've measured them, I found them wanting. I'm going to run.
What we need to do is we need to find
a squishy person.
Well, we need to find the Obama phone lady, you know, to give her opinion of Bush or Christie. That's what we need.
Romney, he sucks! Okay!
So... We've just been giggling like little schoolgirls over that clip. So I'm sure you'll hear that in the future, especially if he decides he's going to run. So we got another story. We do have other
stories.
How much
time do we have left here, Ron?
3 minutes.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, we can talk a little bit about the latest court decision with respect to the new restrictions that the state of Texas has placed upon abortion clinics. Federal appeals court Thursday gave Texas permission to fully enforce a sweeping abortion law signed by Republican Governor Rick Perry last year that would effectively close all but 7 abortion facilities in America's second most populous state.
Hmm.
2 years ago, I guess they had 40 facilities. And many of them have already closed under part of the law that requires doctors who perform abortions to obtain hospital admitting privileges.
Mm-hmm.
And now I guess there's like 12 more that are set to close as well. So anyway, decision by the panel of the Fifth Circuit Court in New Orleans wipes out what was a fleeting victory for abortion rights groups. And so anyway.
Good.
Yeah, exactly.
And just kind of a word to those who are like who are personhood only. Remember, this is not a matter of principle. These types of bills, it's a matter of strategy. And frankly, the strategy in most cases works, as we're seeing in Texas. So we're going to see fewer and fewer abortions. Is this the end game? Absolutely not. No, I'd like to see all abortions banned countrywide, protect all innocent, you know, preborn children, regardless of where mother's at in her term of pregnancy.
But you're exactly right. At the end of the day, what we're talking about here is a difference in strategy, not principle.
Absolutely. And so, you know, these bills have a good shot at actually accomplishing, at least greatly reducing the number of abortions. So we need to be lauding, you know, decisions like this and celebrating it rather than saying, oh, it doesn't go far enough. Well, you're right. It doesn't go far enough. But let's you know, reality says we're not going to get necessarily personhood right off the bat. So, and we're out of time this segment. So,
Romney, he sucks. Hey!
We'll be back.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for caffeinated thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Marv, the boxes are packed and ready to move, but what about the appliances?
No problem, Alice.
Marv, I think you're gonna need a couple of guys to help.
I've got it all worked out. I'll just lower this refrigerator down the stairs!
Whether you're moving across town, downtown, up down, or back again, give us a call and we'll send you a couple of guys. Hi, I'm Brian Myers with M&A Moving and Hauling. Don't be like Marv and Alice. When it's time for you to move to your new home or office space, M&A Moving and Hauling can help. We have what it takes to move your belongings safely and securely to their new location. Give us a call and we'll send you a couple of guys.
Call M&A Moving and Hauling today, 515-491-6348. That's 515-491-6348. Or find M&A Moving and Hauling online at acoupleofguys.net.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by M&A Moving Hauling, serving all of Central Iowa for your moving needs. Call 515-490-2640, and they'll send you a couple of guys. We talked a little bit about this clip from President Obama during our interview with Rod Blum, and I just need to pull it up again. Because I want our listeners to be able to hear what President Obama had to say at Northwestern University the other day, which probably makes Democrats cringe.
Now, I'm not on the ballot this fall.
That's good.
Michelle's pretty happy about that.
We are too.
But make no mistake, these policies are on the ballot. Every single one of them.
Every single one.
This isn't some official campaign speech or political speech, but, and I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, although I suppose it's kind of implied.
This guy never gives political speeches, right?
You're right.
Never.
Every single speech he gives is a political speech.
That's all the guy does is campaign.
I know. It doesn't matter whether he's actually campaigning for either someone. It's typically one of his own ideas that he wants to get through. I mean, here's the thing. Nobody wants him to go out and campaign for them, especially in these swing states. You've got Mark Pryor in Arkansas. You have Mary Landrieu. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing her name right.
In Louisiana.
You have Kay Hagan in North Carolina. You have Mark Begich in Alaska. And then you have the toss-up states where it's an open seat that was previously democratically held, like here in Iowa. Colorado. Montana and South Dakota are actually pretty well, those are going to be safe Republican, I think. But we have several toss-ups, and and Kentucky as well, it's Republican held. But the Democratic challenger, and her name eludes me, I have a piece up at caffeinatedthoughts.com. You can check it out and read about it and listen to the clip again. But the Democratic candidate actually ran an ad saying, "I'm not Barack Obama." And here Barack Obama is saying, "My stuff's on the ballot." Remember that.
That's right.
Make no mistake. Okay. So voters.
And the guy's completely radioactive. Nobody wants anything to do with him.
No, I mean, if I were like.
He's toxic to their campaigns.
If I were a staff member at the DSCC, the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, I would be going through the roof right now. Why? Shut up.
Yeah.
We don't want your
Please.
Help.
Leave
no,
us alone.
No, stop. Stop. And Republican, the RSCC are going, yes. Thank you. Thank you. You
he's
are our number one asset.
He's
right
almost
now.
As good as Bruce Braley. Almost.
Almost. Not as.
He's
not,
the gift that keeps on giving.
No doubt. So we just want to thank you. Remember, every single one of his economic policies is on the ballot. So voters remember that, especially if you independent voters who, I'm not sure who I'm going to vote for. Is it going to be for Joni Ernst or is it going to be for Bruce Braley? I'm not sure. Do you like Barack Obama? Well, no. Vote for Joni Ernst.
It's like, do you have a job? are you sitting in your underwear in your living room looking through the want ads?
Well, yeah, exactly. If you're unemployed, vote for Joni Ernst, because her policies, what she'll vote for, will actually do more to help bring jobs. Bruce Braley, not so much.
What was that Rod said in the last segment that was so hilarious? Is his opponent's idea of helping the...
No, food stamps. Yes. So anyway, remember, every single economic policy is on the ballot. Make no mistake. All right? Barack Obama isn't, but his policies are. This is one last chance that we have to sock it to him.
Boom.
And let's do it. Let's get it done. Get her done. So
anyway. I can't imagine him saying anything that could have helped us more, really.
No.
Is the guy trying to energize his base? Those guys aren't going to come out, you know, in bad weather in the polls to vote for this nonsense.
Exactly. And
maybe they will.
Yeah.
Our quote of the day is from Abraham Kuyper. The book of nature must always be read in the light of God's special revelation, the Bible.
Amen. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll see you next week.
Take care, everybody.